Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. In last week's podcast, I let you know about the release of the LQ Job Marketplace. The LQ Job Marketplace allows you to post Linux and open source related jobs to LQ. I'm happy to announce that just a couple days after the release of the job marketplace, the first job was posted. If you're looking for an open source related job, or looking to make an open source related hire, go to www.linuxquestions.org/jobs. Next, courtesy of Mateer, who was recently made a mod, we now have an official Firefox LQ Forms search engine plugin. And what that does in the upper right hand of Firefox, at least by default, there's a box that has a list of search engines available. And by default, Google's in there, Wikipedia's in there, Creative Commons is in there. Basically, this will add LinuxQuestions.org to that dropdown and allow you to search LQ right from Firefox at any time. There's a thread in the website suggestions and feedback forum that shows you how to install it, but you can just point your browser to mirror.linuxquestions.org/pub/LQ/Firefox, and it will automatically prompt you to install the plugin. Now on to the news. The first story I have is an interview with Neelie Kroes, and I apologize if that I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. And this is really a quick follow-up I have to a story that I've been covering quite a bit, and that has to do with the EU fines of Microsoft. So this is an interview with the Competition Commissioner for the European Union, Neelie, and it was just recently posted to CNET. From the interview, quote, and this is CNET, asking the question, do you believe Microsoft answered your questions truthfully? And the response, Microsoft has claimed that its obligations in the decision are not clear, or that the obligations have changed. I cannot accept this characterization. Microsoft's obligations are clearly outlined in the 2004 decision and have remained constant since then. Indeed, the monitoring trustee appointed in October 2005 from a short list put forward by Microsoft, believes that the decision clearly outlines what Microsoft is required to do. I must say that I find it difficult to imagine that a company like Microsoft does not understand the principles of how to document protocols in order to achieve interoperability. End quote. She also verifies that the fine is currently levied up to June 20th and is pending after that date based on information that Microsoft had submitted on that date. Don't have too much to add to the interview, as I've said most of what I've had to say in the previous 2 weeks' podcasts. And if you haven't listened to those and are interested in the topic, you could just head over to radio.linuxquestions.org for the previous podcasts. As is often the case with interviews, I think that the most interesting question went unanswered, although it's not a question she really could have answered, I think, for obvious reasons, but it was disappointing to see it not answered. So overall, if you've been following this case, the interview is definitely worth a read. The next story I have is Symantec sees an Achilles heel in Vista. This is actually another CNET article, and it covers the recently released Windows Vista Network Attack Surface Analysis A Broad Overview, which is a paper that was released by Symantec. The paper covers the flaws uncovered by Symantec in the freshly rewritten Vista networking stack. To me now, that's really not too interesting. Vista, of course, is still in beta and has been in beta for a long time, and bugs are common in completely rewritten components and in beta software, so the fact that they found bugs really is just not surprising. The fact is, sometimes old sections of code no longer make sense in the current framework of what you're doing, and things change over time, and they do need to be replaced. To be honest, it happens in Linux fairly regularly, and it admittedly is painful, but it is the right thing to do sometimes. And I stress that sometimes because I think all too often programmers will just completely scrap code and start from scratch, and it's not necessarily always the same thing to do. Sometimes I think components need to be completely rewritten, but even that comes with the sometimes caveat. So what is interesting to me, and why I'm covering the story, is that Microsoft has clearly lost what has traditionally been a very close business partner and ally, which is Symantec. With the recent release of Windows Live OneCare, Microsoft has directly encroached on the cash cows of Symantec and other related companies such as McAfee. It's suddenly in these companies' best interest to make Microsoft look bad and really almost look incompetent. For these companies, though, it's a tenuous line, as unlike some companies, they can't just jump ship to another OS. And the reason for that is, for the most part, the ills that they cure, such as viruses and malware and spyware and operating system deficiencies in general, they just don't exist on Mac or Linux or many other operating systems aside from Windows. And even if they did exist in these other operating systems, the minuscule desktop penetration when compared with Windows means that these companies really are just now forced to sleep with the direct enemy. So what had been previously a very complementary relationship, I think in their minds, is just no longer so. You really have to wonder how things are going to turn out in the long term, though. I'd guess that the fat days are coming to an end for Windows virus providers, despite the proliferation of malware, viruses, and really their ilk in general. See, once Microsoft shoehorns themselves into an industry like this, prices are almost sure to plummet, and Microsoft by default just gets a certain market share, as many enterprises will just kind of blindly buy whatever products they put out there. I, for one, am interested to see how these companies react, and if they're able to reinvent themselves in other ways or compete on features in a way that Microsoft just isn't able to keep up with. The next story I have is Microsoft outlines principles of competition. In what may be starting to become a continuing trend, Microsoft pledged recently to follow a dozen principles of competition as it builds and sells its Windows desktop operating system software. From a recent article in the Seattle Times, quote, "As creators of an operating system used so widely around the world, we recognize that we have a special responsibility both to advance innovation and preserve competition," Smith said. "We learned that people care not only about what we do, but about how we do it. That's why we're adopting these principles, and why we're making them so public in this manner," end quote. Now, that, to be sure, is a change of tone for Microsoft in general. The one point that I am extremely happy to see is the, quote, "and business terms that protect manufacturers who go the non-Microsoft route from retaliation," end quote. So that means not only are people free to do this, which theoretically, they've been free to do that at any time in the past, but there won't be any direct retaliation from Microsoft according to this, which absolutely has not been the case in the past. You probably remember at one point, multiple of the larger OEMs was threatened with either increasing OEM Windows costs or the revocation of even licensing OEM Windows versions for the large OEMs that were considering Linux OEMing also. So this would appear to at least potentially put an end to that. And it may have taken multiple antitrust suits across multiple continents, but Microsoft may, and I definitely stress may, actually be starting to get it. You see, I'm as skeptical as the next person on this topic, and it's going to take a lot of follow-through before I'm anywhere near a believer. But at this point, I think Microsoft is feeling real pressure from its large clients, especially in the government sector, and that is more important to them, I think, than any lawsuit ever could be. You can go to Microsoft if you want to see the entire 12 tenets to promote competition. Hopefully, this will allow viable competition to flourish soon, but like I said, it's going to take a huge amount of follow-up on Microsoft's part. And one also has to wonder on this one, in the recent EU ruling, there had been some talk that depending on how Vista sets some things up, it immediately would be not allowed in the EU. So you have to wonder if some of these tenets are geared toward that ruling. The last story I have is Microsoft and ZenSource. Microsoft recently issued a press release entitled "Microsoft and ZenSource to Develop Interoperability for Windows Server Longhorn Virtualization." And this is a quote from the press release. Quote, "Microsoft Corp. and ZenSource, Inc. today announced they will cooperate on the development of technology to provide interoperability between Zen-enabled Linux and the new Microsoft Windows Hypervisor technology-based Windows Server Virtualization. With the resulting technology, the next version of Windows Server, codenamed Longhorn, will provide customers with a flexible and powerful virtualization solution across their hardware infrastructure and operating system environments for cost-saving consolidation of Windows, Linux, and Xen-enabled Linux distributions. And how's that for a buzzword-packed press release there? The first thing that you notice here, and is kind of striking, is that the compatibility is decidedly one-sided. And that is, they'll support running Windows as the hypervisor to run virtualized Linux hosts. They, however, specifically make no claim that Windows will run inside a Xen or Linux-based hypervisor. This in effect means that they're hoping that if you want to run a multiple OS, Linux and Windows within a Xen environment, all of your hypervisors will have to be Windows machines. The next thing I noticed here is that the target release date for this was, quote, plans to release the solution to manufacturing within 180 days of the release to manufacturing of Windows Server Longhorn, which is targeted for the end of 2007. So that puts this release well into 2008, and with the release slippage that they've had with Vista, it could even be 2009, which is a very long ways off, obviously. And I'd guess at the current rate of change in the virtualization world, even, say, a best-case scenario of 18 months away, so many things will have changed that who knows what this actually will look like in the end of all that. So this really smacks of the tried-and-true tradition at Microsoft of making a press release about something they don't yet have a product for at all, but it's in a rapidly growing segment. What they hope to do here is make enough people hold off on making a decision about a competing solution while they bring this product to market. And oftentimes, it works quite well for them. So what they're hoping is, hey, VMware has a solution for this now, but we're coming out with this great solution sometime in the future, so why buy VMware now when you could buy our solution someday? And like I said, this has worked for them in the past quite well. This time, though, they aren't just competing with the likes of VMware, which, of course, is now a gratis product on the low end. They're also facing the realization that as Intel and AMD chips that support hardware virtualization become commonplace, it's going to rapidly change the rules of the OS game. And really what we could see here is a fundamental paradigm shift on how computers are used. And it's admittedly not something that's going to take place in the very short term, but 18 to 24 months away, I think we could see some fascinating things. And the implications of workable, large-scale virtualization, I think, really are fascinating. And it's something you'll see me covering a lot more as I get into it more than I have recently. That's all I have for now, and thanks for listening.